These medications, they can be hidden in some of your other ones.
But the important things would be to stop smoking before surgery. Some plastic surgeons won't even operate on you if you're smoking at all.
As plastic surgeons, unfortunately, the gum is really almost just as bad as the cigarette for us.
So I think, weirdly enough, vaping marijuana maybe isn't great, but it's probably a little safer than actually smoking marijuana.
The beauty scientists, Dr. Christy Hamilton and Dr. Roy Kim. Real beauty without the hype.
Hi, I'm Dr. Christy Hamilton, and I'm here with Dr. Roy Kim. We are both board certified plastic surgeons, and together we are the beauty scientists. Hi, Roy, how are you doing?
I'm good, Christy. How are you?
Great. Really excited to talk about this topic because this is something we talk about every day in our practice, in our clinic, with our patients, which is, and it's so, so important and maybe should be talked about more, that how can you optimize yourself before, during, and after surgery? And I'm very passionate about this topic. I know you are too, and it really makes such a difference. We wanted to share some of these pearls with you, ways that you can accelerate your recovery through basically any surgery. And so first off, we wanted to start with what you can do before surgery, leading up. You've already decided, you're excited, you have your procedure. It's on the books. It's coming up in a month. Where would you start?
First things would be to optimize your health. So we are, of course, assuming that you're a medical candidate, that you can tolerate the surgery, you can tolerate anesthesia. But the important things would be to stop smoking before surgery. Some plastic surgeons won't even operate on you if you're smoking at all. We definitely recommend stopping like a month ahead of time or something of that nature. Stop vaping / smoking. And the other thing is avoid blood thinners because, of course, we know about aspirin. You may be on blood thinners for your heart condition. However, omega-3 supplements and anti-inflammatories, NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, NSA, aspirin, Motrin, ibuprofen, Aleve, things in that chemical family definitely cause increased bleeding.
Yes, and these medications, they can be hidden in some of your other ones. So if you're having headaches or something leading up to it, I tell patients Tylenol is safe. But you'd be surprised how even a lot of these supplements that patients are taking, garlic, ginkgo, there's so many of them that can cause bleeding complications. So I actually ask my patients to stop all of their supplements 2 weeks before, and then we give them a specific list of medications to avoid. But that's one way you can help limit your bruising after surgery so you can get back to your activities as quickly as possible. Smoking is so key, and I'm glad you mentioned vaping and really all the other forms. So people will come in, they'll be like, oh, it's great. Like I haven't smoked for years, but I chew the nicotine gum. Well, for our purposes as plastic surgeons, unfortunately, the gum is really almost just as bad as the cigarette for us because that nicotine is what squeezes all your little blood vessels very small and stops the nutrients and oxygen from getting to the edges of the incision. So as your sutures dissolve or after we remove them, if you are secretly or not so secretly using nicotine products, then we'll see things just fall apart. And you don't want that. And we don't want that. So that's really, really important. What other things can we do to optimize healing heading into it?
I think another thing is optimizing your diet ahead of time. So you want to make sure that you're eating protein beforehand. And we'll talk in a moment about eating protein after surgery. Another thing is actually marijuana. So I think, weirdly enough, vaping marijuana maybe isn't great, but it's probably a little safer than actually smoking marijuana. If you're smoking marijuana, you're getting a lot of tar, you're getting smoke, and it actually has a similar effect to actually smoking tobacco. I also think that patients who use a lot of marijuana may need extra anesthesia, have lower pain tolerance, or possibly just need to sort of back off if they're consuming a lot. It's hard to define a lot. To me, a lot is like you're puffing every day. You need to cut back a little. And weirdly enough, if you're just an occasional CBD or a marijuana user, it may actually calm you after surgery.
Yeah. And it's just important to be very transparent about any of these other substances you might be using with your surgeon, as well as your anesthesiologist, if you're having general anesthesia, because it can impact what medications you're given. And we can often adjust things to make sure that you're safely taken care of. The protein intake that you mentioned, I think, is so important. It's the same reason why I have patients stop the Ozempic and Ozempic equivalents leading up to surgery. We don't want you in this starved state when we're about to create large, hidden, but still large, like surface areas of wound healing. So it's very important that you're eating great lean proteins, healthy diet, because afterwards also, oftentimes people aren't very hungry after surgery until they get kind of back into their routine. And so I tell patients, you're going to probably lose some weight anyway. So this is not the time. We want to make sure that you're eating enough so you have good protein building blocks to heal all of your incisions. What would you say, like from a logistics perspective, like how can you prepare like your home or your wherever it is that you're recovering so that you have a nice, smooth experience?
I think wherever you're spending the most time in your bed, you want to optimize. So if you have a one-story, maybe two-story place, but you have a bed downstairs, it's a little easier. You want to prep that bedroom. If you have a two- or three-story house, you may want to actually prep the first floor, maybe your living room or main entrance, because that's going to be where you're going to be hanging out. You may not want to be climbing steps depending on your procedure. And of course, beforehand, there are a lot of things that we, that at least I tell, I know you tell patients. In other words, from your bed, you want a clear path to the bathroom. You want to, in your bed, be in a recliner position. If your bed can adjust, that's great. If your bed cannot adjust body positions, then maybe get a ton of extra pillows to put them under your knees, under your back. So even for the side, depending on your procedure, you want to wear clothing or have clothing that's easy to get in and out of. I'm thinking bathrobes, or I'm thinking things that zip up in the front, not necessarily t-shirts or sweatshirts with no zipper opening. Golly, there's even more. There's ice packs, and you want to have a laptop or Netflix subscription paid for because you may be spending some time in bed.
Yes. I completely agree. You want all of this set up in advance. So you want to think about it, anticipate as much as you can. And like I said, whether it's like a body procedure, you're recovering in bed, you can rent recliners, you can set up a whole space, and then be cognizant of the type of procedure you're having. So liposuction or body work, you may have some drainage, things like that. So patients will, like, they'll lay down like sheets that they're not, you know, older sheets or some pads, things like that, so that it's all done. So when you get home, you can just focus on recovering and feeling better. And then that leads us into surgery itself. And I know you and I use accelerated recovery protocols. So I'm really big on minimizing or having zero narcotic use after surgery. I start patients on anti-inflammatories, nerve calming medication. And so you're entering surgery in this nice pre-com space. I work with amazing anesthesiologists that also like keep those narcotic needs down, and then nice, easy wake up. And so you are just transitioning nice and smoothly into after surgery. And I think one of the most important questions is also to consider, like, who is taking care of your normal responsibilities afterwards? So what do you talk about with patients on the, you know, they're out of the surgery center now going home?
It's important, obviously, to know who's going to be taking care of you, especially the first 24 hours. Who's taking care of your kids? Who's taking care of your pets? Who's going to actually drive you to see me, the plastic surgeon, for post-surgery visits? So those are all important considerations to think about.
Yeah, it's more than just day of. Depending on how much you're having done, you may get back to driving very quickly, or that may be something that you need a little bit more time to feel confident about that. If you have all that set up, then you can just focus and relax. Focus on yourself for a little bit, which is, funnily enough, sometimes with surgical recovery, it could be a little bit of a gift in and of itself just for that. And then we start focusing on also feeling better. And I think one thing that's really key is ensuring you're staying hydrated. This obviously increases in importance. The bigger the operation is, the bigger the surface area is. But a lot of times patients will feel, they'll feel swollen, they'll feel puffy, and they feel like they have all this extra fluid on them, and they do, but that fluid is not in their blood vessels. It's not circulating around. And so I tell patients, make sure you're drinking electrolyte drinks. Make sure that you are urinating multiple times a day. If you're not doing that, then you may step on the scale and see the result of all of that fluid, which is temporary, going to go away. But more importantly, you got to make sure you're staying hydrated. You'll feel so much better and recover faster. What else can we do?
Light exercise. The minimum should be, hey, let's go to the bathroom. Let's walk around a little. There's pretty much any procedure. This is what we want you to do. Depending on a lesser body, smaller procedure, light exercise actually may be advisable and it's actually safe. So there's a paper that came out about 2 years ago, which showed that light exercise a week after breast augmentation, light weights, cardio is safe, does not change the scar, does not have any increased complications. So depending on your procedure, of course, talk to your plastic surgeon, but that sort of ability to walk around by yourself and to do light exercise within a couple of days after your procedure helps with circulation, mentally helps you feel better, and physically also helps get rid of some of the swelling.
Game changer. Let's talk about diet. We were talking about optimizing what you're eating heading into surgery, but what about on the other side? And I know you've got a good story about this because we all do when we find out, we see someone who's not healing properly or how we expect, and then we start asking some questions. What have you experienced?
Yeah. So, I mean, essentially what you want to do as a patient is to optimize your diet with a lot of extra protein. So have a well-rounded diet, eat whole foods, multivitamins and some minerals of that nature are probably good because if you don't need them, you probably urinate them out. But if you do need them, especially in that state of post-surgery, the anabolic state, building things up, you want all of the nutrients. And when we say extra protein, I mean, honestly, it's like 100 grams, 150 grams, 200 grams of protein a day until you're fully healed up, which is a lot of protein. So
it's a lot. And so that's why I recommend some of those protein drinks, even not even smoothies, because those can be, if you can have the smoothies, great as well. But sometimes it's hard for people to consume that much at first. So if you can get a couple of those drinks down and they each have 20 grams of protein, you do a couple of those a day, that will all support what you're actually able to consume as well. And some people are so afraid of gaining weight after surgery. Like they're stepping on that scale. Like I mentioned, that's not real. I always tell patients, like, we didn't add anything to you. You're going to be, if anything, lighter, certainly more contoured, but all that water retention can be really scary for patients. And we all love stepping on the scale after surgery. I don't know why. And so people will even try to almost like lean into the fact that they're not hungry is almost like a early diet. This is not the time to diet. This is the time to eat healthy and well, and your metabolism is on fire because you have so much healing to do. So you don't need to worry about gaining weight. And if you don't eat enough, then we'll see things just fall apart. And we can always tell who's not healing or who's not eating, because if you don't eat enough, you just don't have the building blocks to create an appropriate wound healing environment, appropriate scars, and you won't heal as well.
That's the story of my patient. So she actually had liposuction and she had a breast augmentation and lift. And she was not healing after 1 week, after 2 weeks, after 3 weeks. So finally, I said about 2-3 weeks, I said, I'm sort of at my wit's end here. Did you radically alter your diet? She says, well, I didn't really radically alter it. I just decided to go vegan after surgery to keep the weight off. Yes.
Not the time. Also, it's one thing. If you're doing veganism appropriately, you have to make sure you're getting complete proteins, all that. It can be difficult to do, especially to initiate that after surgery, especially if you're not doing it properly. That's not the time. Yes. It's not the time to radically change your diet. I totally agree.
So the good news was we just went crazy with the protein. And I just said, look, why don't you just go carnivore or omnivore like you were before surgery, at least for a week or two after, starting today. And magically, she healed up. So she eventually did go vegan, but she waited until she healed up after her operation.
Yes, that sounds like a much, much better idea. So beyond diet, how else can we set ourselves up for success?
There's an increase in lymphatic massage, anything to help reduce the swelling. And this helps not just for body procedures, but also facial procedures as well. Also, compression garments may help. And again, almost any procedure, you may need to wear a compression garment. It's usually given to you at the end of the operation, but you may need extra ones. So in case you want to wash them or in case you just want to wear them for as long as possible to help reduce the swelling.
Yep. Exercise is appropriate. And that could be something as simple, you know, depends on what you're having, of course. So talk to your surgeon, but almost everyone is going to say to at least be walking steps, not lying in bed all day. And then depending on the operation that you're having too, and particularly this for me is tummy tucks, because we tighten your abs and make everything really, really cinched. It can be difficult to take deep breaths afterwards or just after being on a ventilator for a couple hours in surgery. So you want to make sure you're taking deep breaths, filling up those lungs afterwards. And I will also give my tummy tuck patients a little machine with a goal to help them breathe in bigger, deeper, sustained breaths, make sure we keep those lungs open. And that way we stave off things we don't want, like pneumonia.
Yeah. The medical term is atelectasis, where your lungs really aren't getting deep breaths. So your lungs aren't fully expanding after surgery. So taking deep breaths with the special device, taking deep breaths, will actually help you heal, will prevent any of these lung issues from popping up. But it does require consistency. Like, we're going to have to remind you to do this all the time.
Yep. So the general rule of thumb is 10 times every hour on the hour. So if you're awake, so that's a lot. And especially if you're not feeling like taking big, deep breaths, that can be, it's a little bit of diaphragm exercise right there.
Right.
But it really keeps, you know, it keeps you out of harm's way and facilitates a nice, smooth, uncomplicated recovery, which is what this is all about. So we hope you found this useful.
Yeah.
And we would love to hear if you all have any insight or things that made your surgical recovery or optimization easier. Please list them below. I'd love to hear what you all felt was helpful. I'm sure everyone else would too. So thanks so much, Dr. Kim.
Thank you, Dr. Hamilton. It's always great seeing you.
You too. And all of y'all, stay beautiful out there.
Yeah, stay beautiful.
Thank you for joining us on The Beauty Scientist. Be sure to visit thebeautyscientist.com and learn more about modern beauty and connect with Dr. Hamilton and Dr. Kim.